Hello and welcome to Android Developers Backstage, the podcast, the remote podcast, the first ever podcast recorded where none of us are actually in the same room at the same time because of physical realities at this time. I'm Chet Haas from the Developer Relations team.
I'm Tor Norby from the Android Studio team.
And today we have
I'm Don Turner from... Sorry, okay, I've cut in there.
Welcome to latency. Yes, go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt there. I'm Don Turner. I'm on the Android Developer Relations team.
And I'm Phil Burke on the Android Audio Framework team.
Excellent. So Phil is a return guest. We talked to you probably, 3 years ago when you did the MIDI stuff for Remind Us? Which release was that?
Boy, that was a Marshmallow, I think.
Okay. And today, it turns out we're talking about audio again. So both Don and Phil work on audio. Phil from the engineering side, Don from the developer relations side, but also kicking in with engineering. I think we'll end up talking about something called Oboe, but why don't you sort of introduce the overall topic for us, either one?
Don, why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, definitely. So in the Android team, there is a small number of engineers and developer relations people who are passionate about making Android a platform for musical creativity and other important real-time audio use cases, some for accessibility, some for video conferencing. But we feel that audio latency and good audio performance is extremely important to the success of the platform. And we've built a number of tools and a number of different resources for developers to build fantastic audio apps on Android.
And we're done. All right. So we've done all these things. So why don't you give us a little more information, like which tools, which resources, what are the APIs that people should be using, right? And it also occurs to me that when we're talking about audio, we're probably talking about native developers in general.
So yeah, there's a fundamental difference between apps which just play music, for example, the Spotify's of this world where you're streaming music, and apps which produce audio in response to some input. So that could be, good example would be, say, a drum machine app, where you're tapping on the screen, and in response to that tap, the app is making a sound and playing it through speakers or headphones. Yeah. It's critically important that the delay between tapping on the screen and hearing a sound is as small as possible. This is what we refer to as latency. Yeah.
Also, games and other games and musical creation apps, hearing assistant apps, and voice over IP. These are all things where the audio is being created immediately, and the low latency is very important.
Yep, so there's this whole suite of apps which we call real-time audio apps. And on Android, in order to get the lowest possible latency, you have to use the native audio APIs. So that means traditionally you would use OpenSLES, more recently AAudio, and that's going to give you the lowest possible latency. I guess where we've come at it is from the point of view of making it more easy for developers to build these type of apps and use these APIs by using a library which we built called Oboe, which gives optimal performance across the widest range of devices.
So before we get into Oboe, can you explain why typically developers are going through native code? There's usually a couple of different reasons why people choose native versus non-native. One of them being performance, and one of them just being, well, that's where they happen to be at the time, right? Either because they're porting from another library, they're using APIs that are only in native, they're used to that code because lower level developers happen to be native. Like, so what's the drive for this area of media in particular?
Yeah, I think one reason is because audio code tends to be very portable. Audio engines are often just a lot of math. And so you can have the exact same code running on Linux, Windows, Mac, or Android. And so unlike UI code that people tend to write for each platform, audio code can be extremely portable. So people like to write that in something that like C++ or in C, as well as the performance reasons to eliminate things like garbage collection.
So typically either the apps or at least the support libraries that people are using are also running on, you know, desktop systems, or, well, maybe not servers, that's not really an audio platform, or other mobile platforms. Is that right?
Yeah, so the code that if you write a synthesizer code, it's built, there's MIDI bytes coming in and audio samples coming out, and it's just pure math in between. So there's no reason, you don't really, people rarely call system APIs in the audio rendering code. So it's just really just pure math. So audio engines tend to be extremely portable. People just move them from one platform to another and just drop it on the other platform and it runs.
Okay, so it's not even just that everybody has to use native. It's that it sort of lends itself to native because you don't have a lot of platform dependencies at that level.
Yes.
But what about the layer to get it, into, the speakers of the device?
Yeah, that's different on each platform generally, but that's it should be a fairly simple part. You know, once you've got the audio generated, you want to be able to have a stream. So Oboe provides a simple API to make that happen, and it's similar to what you'd find on other platforms.
Right. I thought this was the part that was really tricky on Android in the old days, is that there was a lot of layers between the place where the audio was generated and actually getting out to the speaker. And because of that long latency, it was difficult to build a synthesizer because there was a long lag, and so you don't get that nice immediate feel as you're playing. And I think there was some really hard work. This is back in the Nexus days, to make one of the Nexus devices have a really sort of low latency. And how are we now with the OS and the whole ecosystem?
Yeah, I'm not saying it's always easy. Just that it should be easy.
Okay.
And right. It's taken a lot of work to get us where we are now. In the past, we had an API called OpenSLES, which is not very direct, and it would take pages and pages of code to open a stream and to set it up and get audio out. With Oboe, it's maybe half a page, and it's just very direct. So in Oboe, you just create a builder. We have a builder design pattern. You create a builder, you specify some parameters, you use that to make a stream, and then it calls you and you give it the audio. So now it's very simple. But then under the hood, there's been a lot of work to make that be low latency. So OpenSLES used to go through multiple layers. There were issues sometimes that the buffers would be maybe not in the right place, or they'd be too big and you didn't know how big the buffers were. So it was hard to get it tuned properly. With the A-Audio, we can have a situation where the application's writing into a buffer and the DSP is reading out of that buffer. So there's just one buffer between you and the hardware. And so that gives you the minimal latency. We've also made it simple to tune the system so that you're matching the burst rate that the DSP is reading. So you can synchronize with the DSP and really sort of chase it very accurately. So it took a lot of work to get that to happen, but now it's easy to make the calls, and it's and you'll get much lower latency as a result.
This reminds me a lot of the Camera X library, right? Which sort of took all the magic out of setting up a camera and a viewfinder. And here you've sort of done the same thing for audio access, it sounds like. Are you also having to deal with compatibility on different devices, or is that not the same issue that the camera has?
Don, do you want to talk about that?
So just to jump back to your original question around latency and in the ecosystem. So I also remember the Nexus device. It was the Nexus 9, Nexus 5X and 6P, which were the first devices that had really low latency on Android. And around that time, we also launched a specification called the Android Pro Audio Spec, which guaranteed that you would get 20 milliseconds between the input on a device to the audio output. And all Pixel devices conform to this spec. So they're all within that 20 milliseconds range. So that gives you an idea of certainly Pixel performance. But Phil's done an incredible amount of work with OEMs to bring them to a similar level of performance on their flagship devices. So we've brought down latency a lot since the kind of the early days of Android.
I think to Tor's question about sort of the comparison with Camera X, it seems like a big amount of the focus there has been dealing with the device ecosystem. And if a device doesn't have the capability that you needed in a particular API, like the Camera 2 API, then it will sort of, you know, work around that and find a different way to achieve that goal. So like the long-term goal certainly is to work with the ecosystem and get them up to speed and have the same sort of bar for latency that we think is good for Android. But in the meantime, are there like workarounds or mitigations that you have inside of OBO to deal with a situation where maybe they don't have that bar?
So absolutely. That was one of the prime motivations for creating the OBO library, so that we could work around OEM-specific issues and developers don't have to. So yeah, we have like, I mean, Phil wrote it, but it's the Quirks Manager. So it'll say, you know, if you're on a Samsung Galaxy S7 with this input configuration, then we know that we need to convert from one channel to two in order to get reliable audio on the output. Those kind of issues are worked around in OBO, so that you know, developers don't have to go through that pain.
And then, do you end up? Sorry, I'm also thinking of the Camera X situation where they have a massive, you know, testing lab where they sort of run it against a bunch of real world devices so that they know, you know, specific instances that can occur in the real world. Do you end up having one of those?
I mean, we would love to have the budget to do that, but at the moment, we don't do a massive amount of on-device testing. We each, like as engineers, we each have a load of devices that we will test on, typically Pixel and Samsung flagships. So yeah, and Phil has written an app called OBO Tester, which is used by us and by OEMs to go through and isolate certain issues. We also have CTS verifier tests to make sure that new devices conform to the Pro Audio spec. So
How does that CTS test do that? Does it play audio and turn a microphone on and measure how long it takes before it hears what it's playing?
Yes. What happens is we use what we call a loopback adapter or a fun plug, and we plug this into the 3.5 mm headphone jack, hoping there is one, and it takes the audio output and just routes it right straight back to the input. And so we've had different algorithms over time, but what we currently do now is we play this noise burst that is basically a series of random bits encoded as a kind of noise signal. And we play that out, and then we catch it on the way in. And then we do a correlation to align the input and output signal. And we get a very big when it lines up, we get a big spike in the correlation. And so we can measure the latency of the device.
It's random, just to make sure that there isn't a way to defeat this test by just sending the same signal over and over immediately.
Well, it's just that there's much more correlation. If it was just like a repeated signal, then if you were partially overlapping, you'd get this partial correlation. But with a random signal, unless you match exactly, it just seems like completely uncorrelated.
Right.
So it gives us an unambiguous result from the analysis. So we do the same measurement to also measure glitches. So we can send out a sine wave, and then we lock onto that sine wave on the input analyzer. And we say, okay, I'm getting a sine wave that's, you know, this phase and this magnitude, and so I should continue getting that sine wave. And then if anything deviates from that sine wave, like maybe there's a dropout in the output, or there's noise, some analog noise, then we can detect that as a variation and measure that as a glitch. So we can also measure glitches over time, which helps.
Is it glitch the term for audio jank?
Yeah, it's good.
Okay, all right.
in the OBO tester, what we do is we display the glitch when we catch it, and you can actually kind of tell where the glitch is coming from. Like if the glitch happens on the output, it'll go out and through the analog stage and then back through another analog stage, and it'll get filtered, and so the glitch will ring. And so you'll get these kind of ringy edges. Whereas if the glitch happens on the input, then they're sharp, like little surgical cuts in the sound. Whereas if the glitch is just like a kind of wiggly mess, then it's probably a ground plane issue or RF interference or something like that. So by looking at the glitch, you can even tell kind of where it's coming from.
Huh. It's pretty cool.
It's fun.
So I was
The Oboe is on a GitHub repository, and so there's several sample programs, and Oboe Tester is in that same GitHub repository. So you can download this and run it on your device and measure the latency and the glitches, and you can use it also. We use it a lot for debugging and for reporting bugs. So rather than a developer saying, when I run my app, this happens, we'll say, well, try to reproduce it with Oboe Tester. And if you can reproduce it, then we know it's not your code, for one thing. And then also we can easily reproduce it in-house and pass it on to, you know, to the hardware groups and so forth. So we use Oboe Tester for finding and categorizing and debugging a lot of issues.
So Oboe came out, what, a few months ago? Mm. Is it stable now? Like, what state is that library in?
It's about 18 months old now. So we're on version 1.3. It's been stable for over a year. It's pretty battle hardened. I'm not saying we don't have bugs, but for the most part, it's very stable.
And is there a story or acronym behind the name?
My grandson plays oboe, or at least he used to, and he stopped playing now, which is, I should force him to play it again, but it just seemed like it had a nice sound to it, and it's kind of musical. And it's,
see, I thought it was because it was a long kind of tubular thing taking an input to an output.
That's a good explanation.
Sure.
But oboe is also very difficult to play, so an oboe is very difficult.
I think that's like, our library is the opposite of that.
It seems like branding-wise, though, if you were to throw an X at the end of it, it would really sort of fit in with the whole Camera X and Android X and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Actually, I was going to ask how this related to Android X, and then I realized, wait, native library. Android X is not really about native at this point.
True, but you can install Oboe the same way that you would install an Android X library. We just launched this in the past week, actually. Android Studio 4.0, the latest preview has support for a tool called Prefab, which allows you to install Maven packages with native dependencies. So you can now install Oboe with just a couple of lines to your Gradle.
And is there a Java or Kotlin API front into this, or is it really not something you would do from a Kotlin app?
To get to it, not really. I mean, some of our samples do use JNI. In fact, they all use JNI because we use Java for the UI. So there's always that jump over to native. But in order to get the best audio performance, you need to use native. And you're talking about 20 milliseconds difference. So it's quite a big deal.
Yeah, in the Java code, we can't really get real-time callbacks into Java. So the Java code's going to be running in a thread that is sort of just writing audio output. And if you're going to do that, there's no advantage of going down through Oboe. The Java API does have a low latency flag. And so you can have an attribute that turns on low latency. And you can get pretty good. I mean, you can get in the kind of 30 to 40 millisecond range with that. So not quite as good as Oboe. But for a lot of apps, if it's, you know, a casual game or for casual interaction, the Java low latency audio track is not too bad.
So what is the reason for that 20 millisecond latency? Is it the real-time aspect that you just mentioned, Phil?
The additional latency in the Java?
Yeah.
The Java's will have the garbage collector will come in every so often and pause the audio thread. And in Oboe, we're sometimes running with a single 2 millisecond buffer and filling that every 2 milliseconds, and then the DSP reading it, you know, every 2 milliseconds. So we're on a very tight timeline. The garbage collector has gotten much better. I think it used to cause delays of 10, 20 milliseconds, but now I think it's down in a few milliseconds, but that's enough to have your buffer underflow. So in Java, we'll generally have a little bit bigger buffer for a Java audio track, and you can generate your audio code in Java. The same in audio, the same in A audio, the same trick works. But you generate your code, you output it, and then you can check to see if you're getting underflows. And if for some reason, you know, every system's different. There may be different drivers running or some background activity. And if you're running and you're getting underflows, you can just tell it to give you a little bit bigger buffer. And that extra buffering will cover those glitches, those delays. And so you can tune your latency to each device at runtime dynamically to fit the situation. So by being able to query when you get a glitch and being able to account for it and adjust for it lets you really get the optimum latency. And that works both in Java and in Oboe. But just you'll get better, a lower latency in if you're doing native for in Oboe.
So is it typical that people using Oboe or doing audio in general are going to be just full-on native apps? Or is it also advisable, like there are types of apps that need high performance or low latency audio, but the rest of it happens to be at the Java or Kotlin layer?
Right. So I think you're asking like, well, for the audio generation, you want to be native. But so what a lot of apps will do is they'll have their game logic or the user interaction in Java, and then they'll write their engine in JNI, and they'll send commands down to the JNI code saying, you know, turn on this voice or so forth. So like people might have the MIDI code written in Java, and then it can communicate to a synthesizer that's running in native.
Okay. And then I guess the other thing I was wondering, since I have not actually seen the API, is what's the typical, like, what's the flow for using Oboe? Like, what you start this thing up, and then you, like, what is the interaction model with this library?
Sure, I can take that. It's pretty simple. If you want to make a sound, you start by creating a stream builder, and you use that builder to create a stream. You open that stream, and you start it, and at the point where you start the stream, you'll start receiving callbacks. Inside those callbacks, you supply audio data, which are then sent out to headphones or speaker. And that's basically it.
So, again, not being an audio person myself, would I, like, I've got some codec somewhere, I load in some MP3 file which has, like, the background sound or, you know, the soundtrack or some sound effect that I want to play, and that provides this buffer of data that I'm then going to basically read in from and then spit it out into the stream?
Yeah, you could do that. As long as you've got a decoder which is going to output PCM, you can just send that straight into the stream and it will play.
Yeah. One thing we have to be careful here is what a lot of people will do is they'll make the mistake of creating one stream per sound. And the overhead in a stream is huge. So what you want to do is you want to create your Oboe stream and just leave it running and then build everything above that one single stream and then mix together your different sounds. So if you're, you know, you might load a sound, decode it from MP3 into memory, and you've got your wave sample, you'd be maybe generating a tone algorithmically with some other sounds. So you take all these sounds and you trigger them and you mix them and you have this final PCM audio output. And that's what you write to the stream. And you just keep that one stream running the whole time. So as you're like playing notes on a synthesizer and you're triggering all these different notes, or you got sound effects in a game, they all just get triggered independently. But all of this is happening above Oboe. That's your audio engine or your synthesizer is okay. Turning on and off all these sounds, mixing them, and then writing a single audio stream output into Oboe.
So then is it left as an exercise to the developer to mix those things, or are there other libraries or approaches people use to have standard ways of mixing sounds?
There are libraries, but mixing is basically you multiply by how loud you want it to be, and then you add it to the other sounds. So it's a multiply and an add.
But what about...
We have samples as well.
I was going to say, if I, for example, want to pan sound effects, like let's say it's a game, right? And I want to sort of move that sound somewhere in the space. Mm-hmm. So I have a background soundtrack and I want to play some sounds, maybe apply some echo or something. Is that built into Oboe, or would that be another library I have to find to sort of do that sort of audio mixing?
That's not directly built into Oboe, but there are plenty of libraries that will do those audio effects. So most recently, a framework called Juice, which is specifically targeted at audio apps, much, you know, covering many effects, and they also have a UI library as well. Just use Oboe as their audio engine, and you can do all sorts of fancy DSP inside their framework, and then Oboe just handles the output.
Yeah. So I think it's really important to have, you know, the effects processing and the sound manipulation and sound generation outside of Oboe as much as possible, because then, you know, it works. They can have the code on different multiple platforms. This is how people sort of distinguish their sound. The way they do reverb is kind of their own way of doing it. And for audio programmers, you know, doing the panning, it's, you know, it's just part of their basic toolkit. So, you know, they'll turn it up on the right channel or down on the right channel and up on the left channel, and that will cause these pans. It's pretty easy to do those things. And if we did them in Oboe, it would just kind of get in the way. And if we had bugs in it, then they'd, you know, be problems. So we try to leave all of, we try to make a big line. We say, okay, Oboe tries to, what we try to do in Oboe is be a wire that connects your application to the speaker. And the less we do, the better. And the less time it takes, the better. And then because the developers, there's thousands of them, they know how to make all these tricks for the synthesis and the reverb. And we just need to kind of get out of the way. They make the sound and then boom, send it to the speaker as quickly as possible. And so if we can provide this transparent API that's simple, doesn't glitch, and has low latency, then the developers are happy. And then they're very happy to do all that other stuff because that's fun. You know, that's what they want to do. And they just want the operating system to kind of get out of the way and let them get to the speaker.
Right. That makes sense.
So this is all about output so far, but it seems like latency is also on the other side, right? So does it handle input, or is that a different approach for people to get input from the microphone and the device?
There's similar issues.
Oboe handles input as well as output. Okay. Typically, and Phil, I'm sure you have things to add here, typically latency on the input side is not too much of a problem. That's for a couple of reasons. Number one, you generally start with empty buffers on the input side, so you can start reading immediately. Another reason is that we have optimized the input path for a lot longer than we've optimized the output path, because phone calls, you need to have very low latency from your voice into the microphone on your phone. So typically, input latency can be a few milliseconds, whereas output latency is more like 10 to 20 milliseconds.
And part of that is just filling in the buffer, because you can't really start output until you have something to say.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. All right. What's what have we not asked?
I have a little demo.
Oh, can we hear a demo? That's what we didn't ask. Yeah. All right.
So we have a new sample app called Drum Thumper, which was written by Paul McLean, who's another engineer working on Oboe. And it's a drum pad app. So you tap on the drum pad, the app makes a sound. It's pretty simple. Now, the demo I'm going to play you will involve me tapping on the screen with my fingernail. So it'll sound like this. Okay. But when I tap on one of the sound pads, you should hear the sound almost at the same time. So you'll hear the fingernail tap first and then the sound afterwards. So I'll tap on, say, a snare sound here. And we've got a kick. Now, can you hear my fingernail just very slightly before the sound? So that enables me to, because there's such low latency here, in the order of, I would say, probably 25 to 30 milliseconds, it enables me to play. Wonderful drum beat there. But because it's so low latency, I can actually play it like a musical instrument, and much more than about 50 milliseconds, and that becomes quite a difficult thing to do. So you can go to the Oboe GitHub site and download and play with that if you want to.
And on that Pixel device, actually most of the latency will be in the touch latency, from detecting this finger touching the screen to that event getting to the software. So it used to be the touch latency was insignificant and the audio latency was 200 milliseconds, but now The audio latency is down to the point where that becomes a smaller part of that total latency.
That's the joy of working on performances. Everything you fix just makes everything else look worse.
Yes, that's true.
So what device was that for anybody that's curious, or did you say before?
That was a Pixel 3.
Okay. All right. So the stuff that people should be interested in getting, obviously Oboe itself, and we'll link to that from show notes. The demo is in the same place, or we could link to it separately?
Yep. It's in the samples directory in the Oboe repository.
Okay. And then Oboe Test or Oboe Tester you were talking about is before?
That's also
in the apps folder.
Okay. But all same GitHub
Yep, repository. All the same.
Are they available in the Play Store as well?
Not yet. We are working on that.
Boy, I don't know that drum pad app. That's pretty killer.
I mean, we don't want to put people out of business, right, with a killer app like that.
Yeah. So it's meant to be a simple illustration of how to use the system, and then people can use that as a starting point to build fancier apps with different sounds and editing and so forth.
It's cool. I would assume, I can't see the demo from where you were playing it, many thousands of miles away, but I would assume that there's a way that you could report the latency. That actually, do you know the latency? Or no, because you need that feedback loop in order to measure the latency, don't you?
Yeah, we do. I mean, there's a number. So in that scenario, you're talking about tap to output latency. And the way that we measure it is exactly the way that I've just demoed. So we will tap on the screen with a fingernail and use a piece of software like Audacity to record the output. And then we can see the peak where the fingernail hit, and we can see when the sound output, and then we just measure the delta between them.
Yeah. Okay.
And actually, Oboe Tester has a tap to tone latency measurement that you can use. I don't know if you can hear this, but it has to be turned up. It records this fingernail and the beep sound, and then it detects those two waveforms and then tells you what the latency is between them. So
also, it saves you having to go into Audacity and do the measurement.
Yeah, it's all there. And then, so here you can hear it's pretty tight. If I increase that latency, you'll hear a delay.
Yeah.
And then if I go to turn off the low latency, just go back to sort of the way the audio was in the past, here's what that sounds like.
Oh, right. Boy.
Yeah. So this is what game developers were facing, many years ago with Android, where you go to click to fire your rocket or something, and it's just not immediate. If you try to play a musical instrument, you just couldn't do it. So that's sort of what it sounds like when the latency is high, when things are bad. I mean, it just makes it very difficult to interact with the device. But if you get the latency down, then it sounds immediate, and because it's supposed to sound like if you tap on a table, the sound comes immediately because that's the real world, and you want the audio to sound like the real world. And the lower you can get that latency, the more realistic it will seem when you're doing your musical instruments or your games and everything else.
Yeah, I seem like I remember that for the whole Daydreams effort, we added a bunch of stuff, right, where the device goes into this mode where it's really on high alert for pushing graphics through immediately to have super, super low latency, because that's really important so that you don't get nausea as you turn around.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if that kind of mode also does something with audio.
Hmm. Well, it's very disturbing if you are listening to through headphones and there's you're hearing your voice come back. If it's 10, 20, 30 milliseconds, you're fine with that. You just hear your voice and it sounds kind of normal. But if you increase that latency up to above 50 to 100, 200 milliseconds, and you try to talk and then you hear your own voice come in, it's like you can hardly talk. It just prevents you from, you should try it. You can do it with Oboe Tester. You put on some headphones.
Yeah.
And there's an echo input output, and you can increase the delay up to 3 seconds. But you get around 100, 200, 300 milliseconds, you can't even talk. It's just so disturbing.
Yeah, and what I think the Daydreams mode was doing was like really turning on CPU all the way to the max and taking all kinds of shortcuts, right? Because this app needs it. And I'm just wondering if there's like a corresponding mode, or if the Daydreams mode would help with audio too, where like a synthesizer app would basically like, hey, I need all hands on deck. I want all available power to help me shorten everything possible.
The other element of Daydream, I mean, maybe there's something in the audio space, but it was doing, it was cutting out the buffers, right? It was writing directly to the screen, which we don't generally recommend in graphics, just because then you can get tearing. But tearing is preferable to the nausea experience you get from high latency graphics, right? So you eliminate all the buffers, draw directly to the screen, and turns out you can go a lot faster because you don't have to create the buffer first. In audio, I guess, do you ship smaller buffers?
We kind of do the exact same thing. We render directly into the buffer that's read by the DSP instead of going through layers of like through a mixer and these extra layers.
I see.
We get that lower latency, but there is a higher risk, you know, maybe having a glitch. So,
but the thing is, latency is only one part of the story. The other part is the computational throughput. And a lot of these more interesting synthesis apps need that computational bandwidth in order to produce really interesting, rich, polyphonic sounds. And as yet, we don't have anything in Android which can, say, reserve one or more cores for that kind of just audio work. So, yep, that would be absolutely fantastic. It is an idea that has been floated around, but as yet hasn't had too much traction. But we'd love to use the Daydream mode, but it's not available to the audio thread. Unfortunately, I wish it was.
It seems like the other part of latency, like we've talked about the delay itself, but it also seems like consistency is a major issue in doing what you'd want with, you know, games or certainly music. Like to what extent are either, you know, current hardware capabilities or Oboe itself able to address what I assume were consistency things in the past as well? Or was that not really the thing? As long as you have the same buffer size, at least you'll always have the same horrible delay.
So I think this comes back to what Phil was saying about dynamic latency tuning. So in graphics, if you drop a frame, okay, it's bad. In audio, if you have an audio glitch, it's pretty catastrophic. You don't want a big click in your ear, and it certainly doesn't give you confidence, say, as a performer, that you can rely on that app and that hardware for any kind of live performance. So yes, we've introduced measures, this dynamic latency tuning, which detects as soon as there's a glitch. And there's also methods where you can do a very quick test at the start, when your app starts up, to see what your computational bandwidth is and run a test to see if you're getting any underruns and set kind of an optimal buffer size there so that you have good glitch protection.
Maybe this is a stupid question, but you know, like in graphics and in math, you can generally interpolate in between. When there's missing data, you can sort of just fill in the gap with something reasonable. Like, is it would it be possible, maybe in the hardware, to like in the glitch scenario, at least not, you know, cause a spike in the waveform, right? But to try to just kind of continue the general sound you had to sort of fill in the gap if necessary. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, actually, and there's, in some cases we can maybe do that. I'm a little worried about covering it up because then people would think the problem's gone away.
but better than a blown eardrum, right?
Right. So like in the mixer's running and there's software running and it's looking at this buffer and it can say, hey, the buffer's empty. I got to come up with something. I'll use the previous data and I can kind of smooth it over. And that will smooth out and make the glitch. You'll still hear something because even if just like a change in frequency or, you know, the user will still hear something strange going on. But when we're in these low latency modes, we're writing into a buffer that the DSP is reading and we're not synchronized with that DSP. The DSP doesn't know if we've missed our deadline.
And so it's going to look at old data. So it's going to assume this was intentional.
And it's going to see this big discontinuity. But as far as we know, that's valid data because it might be, you know, a glitch piece or something, you know. When you get down to the low latency mode, it's hard to do that. But we could cover some of the glitches at the in the when we're using a mixer.
Interesting. Maybe we can have like some sort of podcasting auto mode, you know, that can sort of keep the podcast going.
Like auto tune for intelligent things to say.
Yeah.
I could totally use that. I'm all out of questions. Tor, yeah. Anybody else? Then I think we have what we need. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.